just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening as we roll on season 6. I believe this is episode 47. I appreciate you listening. Thank you for also subscribing. Remember, for non-fantasy podcast content, you can find the Todd Wright Toddcast on joebucksfan.com, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, etc. And the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast has a spinoff specific to each week's Buccaneer matchup, called the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin. This podcast is presented by Hooters, 12 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you, as well as driven by Bill Curry Ford. If at some point here in the holiday season you are looking to get yourself in a new vehicle, whether it is brand new or pre-owned, I encourage you to find Sean Sullivan, huge supporter of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. He writes the checks for $1,000 to the winners of each Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, and there is never an entry fee for any of my leagues, either podcast leagues or personal leagues. Sean would love to know you're a podcast listener. He is the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He'd love to know that you're a football fan, and then he'll basically ask, what are you looking for in terms of interest in a new or pre-owned vehicle? Tell him you're a listener of mine. He will connect with you instantly. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa. Email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You either have 2 weeks left in your regular season for season-long leagues, which this podcast appeals to. I have actually played no DFS this year. Just a choice I made. I'm not down on DFS. Just I approach every fantasy football season a little differently, and I wanted to focus on my season-long leagues since I'm playing in three of them and commission all three of those leagues as well. And we're doing a record number of fantasy podcasts this year. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. So if you stayed with a 13-week regular season, as I did for the podcast leagues, you have 2 weeks left to solidify your playoff position or miss the playoffs outright. For some that went to a 14-week regular season, took advantage of the expanded NFL season, you have 3 weeks left. Either way, we're in crunch time now. And remember, you still have buys week 12, week 13, week 14. The buys are still a nuisance. To give you a word that you're still dealing with. I'm going to deal with them as well. This week is a tough buy for some. Arizona. Now, not so much because Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins have missed recent games. It would feel like it's worse, but I just acquired James Conner, the rushing touchdown leader. I don't know if Taylor surpassed him. He might have. Taylor 13, Conner 12. Okay, on rushing touchdowns. Let's see, receiving touchdowns. Does Connor beat him? No. Connor 13 total. Taylor 15. We're going to talk about Taylor here in a minute. What's not to talk about? Wish I owned him. So yeah, we're there. So I'm happy to answer your questions, give you a second opinion. I don't set your lineups. I've offered a lot of second opinions that have been met with positive feedback from those of you that listen to the podcast, and I'm happy to continue to do that for podcast listeners going forward. For those of you who normally listen to me on VSiN with Gil Alexander and know I haven't been there for about a month, just scheduling hasn't worked out. I know Gil likes to do things on Skype. It enhances his show overall. I have been unable to maintain the Skype schedule. He's known this in advance. So I'm going to try to come back for the fantasy playoffs with him via Skype. The day he had me on didn't work out for those purposes. I love Gil. I think the world of VSiN Brent Musburger and those guys were ahead of the game on the interest and the growth of sports gaming in our country. And I value what they think of me and love coming on to talk fantasy football, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and golf. Those are kind of my three sweet spots when it comes to where I spend a lot of time doing research and interest, and it has treated me and those of you who listen to me on VSiN very well. Someone even complimented me within the last 4 years or so, where I've pretty much pegged the Stanley Cup playoffs through the final. I mean, we can even go back to how Ottawa missed the final by one goal, 5 years ago under Guy Boucher, and said, does Todd Wright have the sports almanac, or did Marty McFly actually burn it? Nice compliment. And I said, no, I don't have it anymore. I gave it to Gil Alexander, and he keeps it locked up in an undisclosed location outside the Nevada city, outside the Nevada state lines. So, but let's talk fantasy football here. I don't know when this is going to post, just because of holiday schedules, but I'm cutting this on Wednesday morning in the hopes that it gets up there before the three Wednesday games. But let's talk about Jonathan Taylor. He's not Derrick Henry, but boy, I mean, in my leagues, he put up 50 last week, 50.4. This year, Taylor has only been below 11.6 twice, and that was week two and week three. If I had the sports almanac, I would have been making a trade for him prior to the October 3rd game against Miami, where he went for 103 yards and a touchdown and put up 17.4 in my 21st century standard scoring setting. So since here's week four and forward. Now, week 14, he's off. So for those of you that start the playoffs, wow, how about this? So if Jonathan Taylor gets you to the playoffs and they start in week 14, you don't have him. Ouch. But week four through last week, 17.4, 28.9, 27.8, 15 even, 18.2, 32, 18.69, and last week a ridiculous, almost Alvin Kamara Christmas miracle-like, 50.4. I have noticed in a couple of my leagues, specifically the NFL podcast league, Dave Wirth owns him. And in the Foundation League, Greg, one of my loyal Todd Wright Tour players as well, as Dave is a Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famer, owns him. This seems like a common denominator that, you know, calling him Derrick Henry 2.0 is not far-fetched right now, considering he's been minimum 15 points for 2 months. He goes up against the Bucs this week. And, you know, this is one of those where matchups are overrated. You think any owner of Taylor is thinking of sitting him against the Bucs run defense? No. And then he gets at Houston after that, but then off week 14. I know your trade deadlines may be in play. Some, the trade deadline passed last week. In my leagues, it's this week. It's Saturday. But Taylor has been phenomenal. He just surpassed Connor for most touchdowns on the season. I'm looking at my total points for the season from running backs going into week 12. This is before Thursday Thanksgiving games. Taylor at 232.4. Eckler, it wasn't a quiet four touchdown game. I'm just amazed Pittsburgh led that game late and then they busted coverage. I know they have a number of key players out. The late pass from Herbert to Mike Williams cost me in the AFL podcast league. I lost to Scott from Payway because of that. But Eckler had a 4-touchdown game. He now has 13 touchdowns on the season. That's the same as Connor, 13. But Eckler is 2 at 175.8. Guess who still is the number 3 running back in terms of total points this season? Derrick Henry is number 3. Also, and this will be a separate podcast, I had a back and forth with John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge, which is a tremendous resource for us fantasy players, especially fantasy football. I reached out to him on Twitter and just introduced myself and gave him a compliment, and he responded very quickly. For those of you hanging on to Derrick Henry, and I'm not even one of them, there was only one report. There's been one report that Henry could return this season for the playoffs. Now, that doesn't mean a lot to you fantasy owners either. John called the report irresponsible. It's a lone wolf. And considering who reported that, which we'll do in a separate podcast, it falls into a pattern of horrible reporting where her company doesn't hold her accountable for it. It's going to be a whole separate podcast. Henry is taking up a roster spot. And I know, especially in 12, 14, 16 team leagues, there's nothing on waivers with running backs. But pick up a handcuff. You don't hope for an injury, but just in case. Henry's not going to help fantasy owners. There's only one report out there he could come back this season. And John Daigle called it irresponsible, and I thought it was very well put. Joe Mixon's 4, James Conner 5. In season long, and this is total points. This is not taking into account bye weeks or anything else. We'll just finish the top 10. Najee, Zeke, Chubb, DeAndre Swift, Alvin Kamara. There's your top 10 for the season just based on total points, not who's had a bye week, who hasn't had a bye week, average per game. That's just top 10 on the season. Derrick Henry still 3. Also, encouraging news as of this morning for those of us heavily invested in Kareem Hunt. The Browns have designated him to return from IR. We're going to know this weekend if he plays on Sunday, and you would immediately put him in the lineup. And Hunt owners know not even to think about Nick Chubb, because the way the Cleveland offense is designed is for Chubb and Hunt to both be productive in that offense, and the Browns need it right now. So Hunt could play this week. That would be huge for those of us, and I'm invested in him in 2 leagues. I'll put him in immediately. Especially, I just acquired James Conner in the foundation. He's off this week. I'd love to slide Hunt in that spot. And we don't know if Dylan's going to get all the touches for Green Bay. A modest disappointment last week. He got plenty of touches. He didn't score. We don't know yet about Aaron Jones. I kind of doubt Aaron Jones is going to go, but that's just my vibe. That's just my vibe on Aaron Jones. And we'll know more as the week goes on, so keep checking status there. All right, what else did I want to do in this particular podcast? We've talked a lot about running backs. I don't want to go on and on. Let me just do the teams that are playing this week. So let's go to, if you've been trying to get by with Justin Fields, let me go to season average for all offense, and we'll start with the Bears. Justin Fields, doubtful. It looks like for your appetizer on Thanksgiving, it's Andy Dalton and the Bears against Tim Boyle and the Lions. So we're going to hear the talk about why do the Lions always play on Thanksgiving. Well, they started the tradition. It's kind of all the Lions got. You know, I've done podcasts about all that certain teams or college football programs have. The Lions have a Thanksgiving Day game. That's kind of it. And people in Detroit go. They go. They enjoy it. It's a part of their day in Detroit and Michigan. So I'm not saying it's right, but it's been going since 1937. So I'm not front and center saying we got to change it. So with Fields out, Dalton goes. I don't think you plug and play him instead of a Colt McCoy or a Kyler Murray or Patrick Mahomes. No, even against the Lions. David Montgomery has been okay. I think Montgomery is a good back on a bad team, just like Khalil Herbert is a good back on a bad team. And when the Bears have a new coaching staff next year, let's hope they know better how to use these guys. Yeah, I can see you trying to, you know, go with Montgomery as your RB2 or a flex play this week. Darnell Mooney is listed as questionable. He's really the only other guy you can justify from the Bears' standpoint. In his games this year, he's averaged 8.36 on the season. His volume's okay. Last week, 121 and a touchdown. He was limited to practice on Tuesday. He has scored in his last two games around the bye week. Probably more of a daily play if you're going to play, you know, a combination of the three games on Thursday. A Darnell Mooney might be a better play, but he's someone you can consider as a third wide receiver or a wide receiver tight end flex or a flex play on Thanksgiving Day. And that's about it for the Bears. Detroit, kind of all season, it starts and ends with DeAndre Swift. Tim Boyle quarterbacking would concern me a bit, but you know, Swift is still going to touch the ball a ton. He's averaged 13.15 points per season. You know, he's this year's James Robinson. Granted, James Robinson is still on a bad team, but a lot of double-digit point production from DeAndre Swift this year. Back-to-back 130-plus yard games. He's been better since the bye. The Bear defense is average against running backs, so don't go overboard thinking, well, it's the Bears, maybe I sit him. No, DeAndre Swift is still more than a legitimate. He's a very solid RB2. This season. I want to look at his touch counts. Do you mind? Here we go. Season total on Swift. He's touched the ball 190 times this year in 10 games played. So he touches the ball 19 times per game. Good enough for me. He's gotten in the end zone 6 times. So he's obviously not touchdown dependent. Had a very good year. Maybe at some point he gets out of Detroit and he can have a chance to win somewhere else in 2 years or so. Let's go to Dallas and Vegas. Let's see. All right. So as it relates to Vegas, two of the last three games since the bye, Derek Carr has not put up more than 7.5 points. And it was garbage time against Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. I don't think Derek Carr is much of a play against the Cowboy defense looking, because the Cowboy defense kept the Chiefs out of the end zone the entire second half. I think the Chiefs had one field goal in the second half. Cowboys would be very motivated to play after that loss, like they were when they pounded the Falcons after the Denver loss. So I'm not very big on Carr. Josh Jacobs' workload is, it doesn't look like much. The last four games, 6 attempts, 13 rushing attempts, 7 and 9. But he had 5 receptions for 24 yards. Game flow has hurt him in the last 2 weeks. I'm sure that the Raiders will try to get him going. You probably don't have better options than Josh Jacobs. I mean, you kind of he's been a disappointment this year. He's barely averaged 10 points per game. But it's not like Kenyon Drake the last couple weeks or a few weeks has been taken much away. Darren Waller had a big bounce back week in terms of his volume last week. Josh Jacobs is sort of a lower RB2 or a flex play. If you can justify taking him out of the lineup, I get it. I really do. I get it. Some of you will just stick with him and hope for a competitive game or a bad game for Dallas that keeps the game flow going for Jacobs. Darren Waller, really one of his only good games this year. He's had three games of significance this year. Week one, week four, and last week, 7 for 116. Waller, I think, would be in the conversation in mandatory tight end leagues, maybe in wide receiver tight end flex leagues. Maybe. I always prefer a wide receiver there. But Waller owners liked what they saw last week. Hunter Renfrow has played more of a role recently, although he was down to just four catches last week against Cincinnati. Renfrow is kind of a wide receiver three-ish, maybe a flex play. I own Renfrow in some leagues. I own Waller in some leagues. I got Waller in a trade. I didn't want him. I may try to trade him before the deadline. I'm lukewarm on them. They're kind of guys in non-mandatory tight end leagues that you play at the flex if you really don't have someone else that stands out as an obvious better play. From Dallas's standpoint, you're playing the hits here. Dak, Zeke. Zeke will go. CeeDee Lamb still in concussion protocol. Amari Cooper will miss the game due to COVID. That has drawn the ire of Jerry Jones and Michael Irvin. So keep checking status on Lamb. Cooper's not going to go. That raises the value a bit on Dalton Schultz in mandatory tight end leagues. And Cedric Wilson's had a good year. Gallup returning had him written off, but he caught 5 for 44 and plenty of targets last week. And I know there are no points for targets, but Wilson and Gallup to me are more daily type plays. Dalton Schultz in a mandatory tight end league, I can see that. I'm not sure about that as a wide receiver tight end flex in a non-mandatory league. What are the other games? Is it Buffalo and New Orleans on Thursday? Yes, it is. So you're going with Josh Allen. It's a bounce-back spot for the Bills after their bad game against the Colts. So Josh Allen is in your lineup. Stephon Diggs is coming on just as I thought he would. Kept saying by the end of the year he'd be pushing as a top-five wide receiver. For the last five games for the Bills, he's been in double digits. The last two, he's produced 22.2 points and 14.3 points, and Emmanuel Sanders isn't getting many looks. Dawson Knox, I'm lukewarm on, although he is coming off 6 for 80 against Indy, a lot of that in garbage time, going up against the Saints. Knox in a mandatory tight end league or maybe as a daily bargain on Thanksgiving. And that's pretty much it for the Bills. Been a down year for Cole Beasley. He's kind of been in the news for non-football reasons. Beasley has gone back to being a guy who just has an obvious ceiling on what he can do for you fantasy-wise. He's only been in double-digit points twice this season. I think that's the same number as Emmanuel Sanders. And from the Saints standpoint, I know Alvin Kamara owners have hated the last 2 weeks. Kamara didn't practice on Tuesday. It was a walkthrough. Ingram's on the injury report. So you're just going to have to keep checking status there. If Kamara's active, you play him. If not, you don't. If Ingram's active and Kamara's not, you're playing him. I can't make much of a case for anyone else on the Saints. Not Trevor Siemian. No pass catcher of real significance. Again, you can email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I'll do my best to get to them based on it being, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday. And I'll try to crank out another podcast for this week because football continues through the holiday weekend, and get you something else. No promises, but I'll do my best. I really thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving day. Enjoy Luke Combs at halftime of the Cowboys game. He's a hit machine. It's funny how country music only seems to be part of a halftime show on Thanksgiving and not for the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl has not had any country music involved in a halftime show since the Bucks first won the Super Bowl, and Super Bowl was at 37. Yeah, so it's been going on 20 years. Not sure why the NFL is biased against country music. I'd like someone to ask that question, considering the popularity of country music. But yeah, Luke Combs is a hit machine, one of the better breakup songs I've ever heard, and helped me get through one. When It Rains, It Pours might be part of the set. Thanks for listening, everybody.